Hi, everyone, and welcome to the To Be Honest Though podcast. I'm your host, Monica D'Imperio, founder of Hashtag Lifestyle, a New York City-based consultancy that helps startups in the luxury lifestyle space reach millennial women online. I am also an IIN-certified integrative nutrition health coach. For those of you just tuning in, welcome to the squad. In short, To Be Honest Though is a self-care podcast for entrepreneurial women. With this podcast, I'm combining my passions for business and wellness to give stressed out working women solutions on how to bring more wellness into their lives. I think we need it more than ever. And to be honest though, self-care is more than just meditation, jade rolling, and bubble baths. A few of the go-tos at the top of my list are dressing well, eating delicious food, and exploring the world. The name To Be Honest Though comes from just about every real talk conversation I've had with a girlfriend. You know that moment when they lean in and say, to be honest though? And then they launch into what they're really thinking. Well, this podcast is that part of the conversation. My gal pals in this case are my hashtag squad of experts, entrepreneurial women on the pulse of current trends in style, food, fitness, spirituality, career, and more. They are here sharing transformative information and their authentic stories to empower high achieving women like you to find work-life balance through modern methods of self-care. On today's episode, I'm talking to international dating and relationship coach, Renee Slansky. Renee is the founder of Australia's number one dating and relationship blog, The Dating Directory, and has an amazing YouTube channel on the same topics with over 80,000 subscribers. She's also contributed to HuffPost, Daily Mail, and eHarmony. Listen up, because Renee knows a thing or two about landing your dream relationship. I don't have to tell you that finding a soulmate, let alone a date in COVID times, is not easy. If you're currently single and were throughout 2020, you already know what I mean. Renee talks about how to accelerate finding the one during a pandemic, or at the very least, revamp your apps so you can start attracting the right suitors into your life. Many of you listening are probably high-achieving women, so we dive into the key fundamentals that alpha females can follow to break toxic cycles and draw a healthy partner in. We talk a lot about finding your person, but the truth is, you can't achieve love with anyone else until you cultivate it within yourself. On some level, we can be our own worst enemy. And on another, we have to be gentle with ourselves because, just like everything else in this world, singledom is a necessary season. Like a true Aries, Renee bluntly states, if you're not happy with your dating life, there are only two reasons why you suck at love. You're either doing the wrong thing or you're dating the wrong person. Yep, she goes there, and that's just the tip of the truth bomb iceberg. If you've just about had it with single life during the pandemic, you have options. I promise there is a light at the end of this tunnel. Renee gives very specific tactics on what to change in your dating profile to become a man magnet and get you into the healthy, loving relationship that you deserve in 2021. Hint, it's not adding new bikini photos to your Hinge account. After you listen, chime in and leave a comment on the show notes at tobehonestthough.com about how you'll incorporate Renee's tips into your dating profile. So to get started, I always love to ask people, what is your zodiac sign?
So hasn't that changed recently? Haven't they thrown a brand new zodiac sign in there? Which actually it has changed mine, but I'm an Aries originally.
Ooh, nice. I love that. Aries, do you feel like you align with Aries?
To be honest, star signs are something that I don't really identify with at all, and I don't really believe in them. Mm. However, I guess according to the Aries personality traits, I do have some of those. Although they say that there's a lot of rage with Aries, but I'm definitely not a rage person. I am a peacemaker. And honestly, most of the time, no one can ever guess my star sign.
Ah, interesting. I wonder, well, I do fully believe in it. I love it so much. And it's definitely not for everybody, but it's a tool that I like to use. And, you know, even just to get to know people's essence. So It's interesting to know my moon sign. So that's one of the things that like flavor up somebody's astrological chart. So my moon sign is Aries. So I understand them and I attract them into my life very often. So good to know.
I have absolutely no idea what my moon sign is, and I don't even know how to be able to find that out. When people talk about it, I'm like, oh, how did you even find that out? That's not in the newspapers. So
co-star, everyone, download co-star if anyone wants to know their moon sign. So let's get into it. How did you get started as a dating and relationship coach?
So I started in the industry purely out of writing a blog from passion. I've always been interested in relationships and love, and I've always really been bad at it, to be honest. And I started writing about it. I started with my blog, The Dating Directory, back in 2013, because at the time I was dating a man who had a child. And, it was still very taboo back then, what it's like, to be in this modern situation of dating single fathers and to be the other woman. And no one really had much information. So I just started writing about, what not to do and giving advice. And that eventually led me to writing for the big dating sites around the world, to online publications, Your Tango, Huffington Post. And from that, I eventually was asked to do coaching. I never ever thought I would do coaching. I actually initially turned it down. And it just led me to that path where I was like, okay, maybe this is what I'm called to do. And I haven't looked back. So I started coaching professionally back in 2017.
What were you doing then before? So I think that's an interesting way to get into it, because you felt this passion for it and you're like, oh, I'm going to start, blogging about it. And I think that's how so many people do end up getting into blogging or that form of, communication. So what were you doing before then?
I was actually a model and TV presenter for 13 years. So completely random, not related at all. I've been in business since I was 19. I've never actually worked for anyone else properly. And so I've always had a business and entrepreneurial mindset, which is definitely a part of coaching as well, because you're a leader. Mm-hmm. And you're also running a business. But to be honest, no, anything that I did before, I was qualified in makeup and writing was just simply a passion, something that I was good at school. And I just did it because I liked it. I had no idea that that would eventually lead my blog to be the number one blog in the country for that niche. And I had no idea that the heart behind what I had and my own pain and my own experiences would end up transforming other people's lives. So I must say that, obviously a TV presenting background has helped me be able to do videos on YouTube and be able to present myself in a professional way and give me confidence on camera, which means I can get my message across. But yeah, I used to be a counselor or a psychologist, none of that, completely unrelated background.
Wow, that's awesome. So for the entrepreneurial women listening, what would you say was the thing that actually made your blog? So obviously passion is one element. Being a good writer is one element. What do you think were the other elements to making your blog a success?
I think a part of it was timing. I started writing my blog before blogs became the latest trend. It's almost like you look at nowadays with social media, Instagram, people that have exploded, it's usually because they started before the wave came. And so I started my blog, 7 years ago now, before it became this trendy thing to do. And it eventually just grew and grew. I must say that if you know that you have a skill, it's your responsibility to also nurture that skill. And if you do have a passion about something and you're good about something, that's probably in line with what your purpose is. So if there's anyone listening out there and you're not sure what your purpose is, look at what you're good at and look at what you're passionate about. But you can't just sit back and magically wait for it to happen. It is your responsibility to be able to nurture that passion and that skill. And it's just about experimenting it in a way that you feel, okay, I can do it this way and it works. Now, it hasn't been easy being in business, becoming the number one, becoming globally recognized as a coach and, being translated into different languages and everything like that. That hasn't been this overnight success. It has been hard work. But I think in any sort of business, it's about consistency, showing up every day. And the same in relationships. If you want to build a great relationship, you have to be consistent in showing up every day, not when you feel like it, but because you know you should in order to be able to get the results that you want.
I think that's amazing advice, actually. Consistency is key. So what is your, at this point, relationship status? If, I always love to hear, if you're speaking with a dating and relationship coach, what is your relationship status? And do you feel like at this point you have kind of figured out the formula?
So I am engaged to get married, and unfortunately we had to postpone our wedding this year because of coronavirus, which is obviously disappointing. None of our family, well, not some of our family are based here, but others are based in other countries and they can't travel, and obviously we're not allowed to have events. So we have had to postpone that till next year. I've actually been engaged to my fiance. We met back in 2014. So we've been together for 6.5 years now. And we got engaged after 9 months. And within literally the first month of us being together, we were talking about our future and talking about being together. And the moment that I met him, and I even have footage of this because of, it's one of like your questions, like where did you meet and how did you meet? I'll tell you that in a second. But the moment that I met him, I knew he was the one. I knew. I turned to the cameraman that day and I said, "That's my husband."
That's so amazing and powerful. I love that idea and that feeling. And I think that pe gives people inspiration that they can actually, potentially walk up and see someone and say, like, wow, this is my human. So yeah, where did you meet your partner?
So we met actually on a photo shoot. He's not a model at all. He's actually had come out of the army. He's a helicopter pilot, and he was doing modeling a little bit on the side whilst he was migrating to Australia because he's half French, half Australian, and trying to get into the helicopter industry there in Australia, which is very different. And so he thought, okay, I'll do some modeling on the side. And I was working obviously in the industry full time. I was working for a TV shopping network, and we had to do this commercial. In this whole commercial was a romantic scene of a man chasing around a woman in this beautiful manner with these giant balloons, and eventually he catches up to her and hands her the balloons, and it's this romantic moment. And he was the first male model this company had ever used. So we arrive on site, and I'm there already doing my thing, and he arrives a little bit later. Of course, I'd stalked him before, as you do. It's always nice to know who you're working with and are they good looking, and it's all about being resourceful. And he turned up, and I was like, "Oh wow, he's quite handsome." And then I started bossing him around because, had something on his wrist. I was like, "Okay, take that off while you were in those shoes," because I just went straight into like work mode. And we shot everything out of sequence. If anyone's ever done any sort of TV or anything like that, you shoot things usually out of sequence. And the very first sequence that we shot was, I want you to stand in, hold hands with each other, and gaze into each other's eyes. Now, that's a hard thing to do to a complete stranger, looking in each other's eyes full on for like 30 seconds. That's a really long time, especially with someone that you don't know.
That's a
And
lot of
that's what we did.
intimacy.
It is straight away with a stranger. And so that's what we did. We stepped in, we held hands, and we looked into each other's eyes, and that was it. You could cut the electricity between us. He raised an eyebrow, and I raised an eyebrow because we're both like, okay, what is going on here? And the rest was history. Like I said, I turned to the cameraman, obviously not in front of him while he's there. Like he left it in his bin. Then I turned to the camera and said, "That's my husband. I'm going to marry that man."
A couple of things I want to talk about in there is one that there are varying opinions on chemistry. Do you believe in chemistry? Like in the actual, one opposing view that I've read is that, you should go for people who you don't necessarily have extreme chemistry off the bat. Because I think sometimes women will say, you know what, right off the bat, we didn't have chemistry, so they kind of pass up good guys. And other women will go and say, we had such great chemistry, and then the spark kind of can end potentially. So, what do you think about that?
Good question. I think that chemistry can't be the only source of wanting to be with someone. There has to be a balance of compatibility and connection. Connection and chemistry are different. Chemistry is obviously the physical pull towards someone. Connection is the emotional pull towards someone, and they can be feeding one another. Now, compatibility is basically your logic that then steps in that goes, okay, is this person good for me? Are we on the same page? Do we want the same thing? I think a lot of days, sorry, a lot of time nowadays, women believe that they have to choose chemistry or commitment. And so they end up being in committed relationships, but still being unfulfilled because they don't have that attraction towards the partner that they would have hoped they'd have. And on the other hand, other people can be in relationships where they don't have the commitment, but they have that really, really strong attraction. They have that physical desire. They have that maybe really super, super passionate sex, but they don't have the stability of the relationship that they actually crave. So it's about finding the balance. And in order to be able to find the balance, you really have to know who you are as a person. You have to know, okay, well, if I'm someone that tends to fall just for chemistry because I love drama or I love feelings, but maybe I'm scared of commitment or I don't know how to attract men that do want to commit, then obviously you need to be aware of that and you can't just base it off chemistry alone. Again, the more that you know about yourself and the more then that you know about what is fundamental to a relationship, that is where you will help to be able to understand what choices you need to make to get you in the direction that you want to go.
That's fair. Another thing that you mentioned is that you immediately went into a mode of sort of, I don't want to say like dominating him, but you know, you're like, okay, let's get to the point. Let's do this. Like take off your socks or whatever and got down to it. I think that there are some guidelines that some women look to. Like one of them that reminded me of is like that book called Why Men Love Bitches. And then there are the other ones called The Rules, where it's like, okay, you know what? In the situation where you met your fiance, they may have said, okay, you know what? I'm going to play it super cool and then hope that he calls me or whatever. And there are so many guidelines that come out. What do you think about those guidelines? Are there really a fixed set when it comes to finding love and getting into a relationship?
I think that there are fixed fundamentals to building a healthy relationship, just like there are key ingredients that you need to have in order to build a great relationship. Funny enough, Why Men Love Bitches was one of the books that really helped me all those years ago when I had tried to get out of that toxic relationship with my narcissistic ex. And it was a book that I then carried some of those teachings across into what I do nowadays, because I believe that what I gained from that book was you are a woman of value. Stand in that value. And I know that other people have put down that book, even like The Rules. We all function differently. I have some clients that need guidelines. They need me to tell them, okay, this is what I want you to do 3 times a day. This is what I want you to do on a first date, because they don't trust themselves to be able to make the right decision. Okay, they need to be led. And I have other people where, okay, they start to build that confidence, or they have a lot of common sense, or they have a lot of emotional intelligence. And so, therefore, they don't need as many rules or guidelines. I think that, again, no matter how much dating changes or how much a person changes, the fundamentals remain consistent. And that doesn't change at all. When I first met Stan in that meeting, I didn't have an agenda. And I think the problem is that the reason why so many times women feel they have to do this or they have to do that to get a man's attention is because which then just basically turns into game playing, which then becomes exhausting, is because they have this agenda of, I must find this man, I must have this man, I must do this, this, and that. And they're not stepping into their authentic self. The truth was, is that I completely sucked at dating and relationships for 10 years. And it wasn't until I worked on myself and got so confident just being me and relishing me and valuing me and knowing that I was worthy of this love that I seek, that at the right time, I knew that that love would find me. I didn't go into that photo shoot thinking, if I'm attracted to this man, I have to be this certain way. I was just myself, but I was the best version of myself. I was not dominant. I was doing what I did professionally at that time, which was if I knew that I'd have a model that didn't really know what to do, I directed them. And I did it in a way that wasn't trying to emasculate him. I did it in a way that showed, okay, this is what we need to do. And I was confident in doing it. And because of that, he actually really liked that about me, because he's actually a leader and he needs to be told what to do every now and then to keep him in line. So it's not an agenda here. It's more just, okay, I knew who I was. I stepped into that. And because of that, I welcomed the right love into my life.
So, what are a few fundamentals that you can share with us?
So I think one of the big fundamentals is honoring and respect. Being able to honor each other's boundaries and respect each other so that both people feel valued in the relationship. Another fundamental is, how does that person handle conflict? Because conflict will be inevitable. when you are building a relationship with someone. And if someone either shuts down or turns aggressive because of conflict, that relationship will always have problems. The ability to be able to grow through conflict, that is a huge fundamental. You don't want to be going in different directions, and you don't want to feel like you're stagnating, or you don't want to feel like you're outgrowing the person that you're with. So there has to be obviously strong communication whilst you're growing, or to continue growing together in unity. So again, communication is also another fundamental. Love in action, not just feeling love, because there are days when you won't feel love, but actually working with love and acting with love towards your spouse or the person that you're dating at the right time. Vulnerability, in stages helps build trust and transparency and connection and intimacy. And I believe chemistry and physical attraction is also a fundamental as well. So it's just a handful of them.
Vulnerability is really one that sticks out in those for me. I think there are many, and again, this is a blanket statement, but many entrepreneurial women are also alpha female. And it kind of comes with the territory of saying, I'm leading a team or I own a business, so I have to be in charge. And I think that in some respects, they might find it hard for themselves to become vulnerable person because they might see it as a weakness. I don't know if you find that in your practice with any of your clients.
I think it's not so much about them seeing it as a weakness. I think a lot of the times they just don't know how to step into that vulnerability because their brain's already trained to be everything but vulnerable. And it's really about obviously opening up into that feminine side and knowing how to do it in such a way that it doesn't necessarily have to take away from where you need to have maybe less vulnerability in business. Obviously, separating your business logical side into the emotional feminine side when you're actually building a romantic relationship with someone. A lot of the time, the reason why alpha women actually struggle with getting the right man, and they're always like, I can't find a man that wants to commit to me, is because they actually block men and they put up this wall because maybe they are afraid to be hurt. They are afraid of commitment themselves because committing to someone else means that they can't control certain parts of their life. And if there's someone that has a lot of business and they feel that they can control what's going on in their business, it could be an indication that they then feel that by losing control, they will be hurt. Therefore, they just block the possibility of that by blocking love. I've seen that happen with a lot of clients that I worked with. It's a defense mechanism sometimes as well, not wanting to be vulnerable. Or what these women do is they set their standards so incredibly high. Is that yes, they block the guys that can't, that aren't necessarily good guys, but they also block the ones that are good because these men can't ever meet that expectation. And so these women become either too picky or they're always finding fault with these good men, and then they're wondering why they're still struggling with love, and they're wondering why they can't find anyone to want to commit to them. And that's because they haven't given these men permission to be able to enter into their lives without feeling that they are going to be either constantly picked apart or they're just never going to be enough.
I can see that, and I can also see how I have been that person in that position as well, being the entrepreneurial type female. And something I feel like that 2020 is doing for us, we are in the middle of a pandemic. It's an unprecedented time, and a lot of people in general are now being forced to slow down all for everything. And so that means like somebody who may have been working a 15-hour a day job, hustling all the time, is now forced to slow it down a little bit, reassess their values, and start to prioritize relationships and say, wait a minute, you know what? They may have been blocking, or they may have just been not you thinking of the word blocking. They're like, I haven't been in a relationship in so long. Why? And now that I have all of this free time, I want to spend it with somebody. And now it's harder to get into a relationship because the only real way to do it is probably through dating apps. So is there any advice? I mean, what do you think about dating apps? And let's start there actually.
Yeah, so I think that dating apps are a great tool if they're used properly. And the problem is a lot of the time we assume that just because you get on a dating app, you're instantly going to have amazing dates or amazing experiences. And we attach an expectation to it, which sets us up for failure. And that's why a lot of people are exhausted by dating, or they're just labeling all dating apps the same way. Dating apps are purely a medium, a tool to find someone to connect with. Now, who you choose to connect with and what you choose to do on that date is up to you. And that's usually a reflection of your convictions and beliefs, and maybe even your preferences. Again, the more that you can work on yourself first and know who you are, the more likely you'll be able to make conscious decisions that are going to align you with someone that's right for you. I think that if you use dating apps strategically, and if you use them in moderation, meaning not getting on five apps at a time, only getting on one and that's it, and being specific about the app that you do want to use. For example, if you're an entrepreneur, you might want to use Bumble, because obviously that puts you in the position to be able to select who you want to use. If you're someone that you find that you get overwhelmed by choices, which actually the brain can only handle 9 choices at a time, then you might want to try the apps that actually limit you to how many people you can interact with in a day. For example, there's a French dating app called Once, and it's not just in French, it's in English as well. And it only gives you so many choices. I think it gives you 4 choices a day of people that you can interact with. And literally, if you swipe no to them, then you don't get any more choices for another 24 hours or something like that. Like, it only gives you one chance a day to actually connect with someone.
Mm-hmm.
So do some research. Unfortunately, there are hundreds of apps out there. So maybe do a little bit of research on, you know, what sort of app best meets your needs, and also maybe counteracts some of your weaknesses, so that you can set yourself up at least to use, again, apps in a strategic sort of way.
Okay, so if they're being strategic, is it a balance of, imagine someone works on themselves enough and they now have this vibe putting out of confidence? And that's something I truly believe in, is having a great aura about you that attracts people to you. So you have the vibe that you put out, and then what is the strategy? Just build yourself up to have a good vibe and then people will swipe you? Or do you think that part of it plays into pictures that you choose, the bio that you write? Like, what are some things that go into a potential strategy for somebody who, even if they have a dating app now, maybe they can even just revamp it to be better?
Okay, so definitely pictures, especially because men are visual and it's like an advertising board. The pictures that you put on there have to be able to show you in your most flattering light. So what I suggest is there's probably 4 to 5 different pictures that you can do. The first is obviously your profile picture. That's going to be your main picture, which is going to stop a guy in his tracks. You don't want to have any sort of face in shadows. You don't want to have hats covering your eyes, sunglasses. You don't want it to be overly sexualized with showing too much skin. You basically want it to be friendly, casual, warm. Okay, so you should probably be smiling. It should be maybe a mid shot, so basically from your chest upwards should be the size of the shot, with a clear amount of background behind you. If you've got too much happening in the background, it's going to distract his eyes. He wants to be able to be drawn straight to you. And if you know that your eyes are your highlight, or your hair, or your smile, then highlight that feature, or choose a photo that highlights that feature, so that you can really shine in that and pull him in that way. Okay, so that's your profile picture. The second picture that you would do is you would obviously want to show a bit more of you. Okay, so what you can do is you can do an adventure shot. Now, adventure shot might be you hiking in the mountains, going for a bushwalk. And if you're not a major adventure person, don't freak out. But you've got to understand, it's not just about presenting you, it's about tapping into a male's instincts. Mm-hmm. And a male's instincts is obviously to be able to seek out a partner who also loves adventure to some degree, because men are like that, okay? Especially if you're wanting to attract an alpha male, which is what most alpha females want to attract. So some sort of action shot, okay? Action shot of you doing something that shows, okay, you like adventure, okay? Even if the adventure shot is you standing on a cliff in Turkey with all the balloons behind you, okay? It doesn't have to be you climbing Mount Everest, okay? But some sort of notion of adventure and action needs to be in that shot. Then you want to show a social shot. And a social shot is you with your friends to show that you're human, that you aren't a fake, and that you've got other people in your life. And you want to make sure in that social shot, say if it's with a bunch of girlfriends, that you're in the center. So again, his eye is drawn to you in the center rather than trying to find you in amongst all these different women. Another shot that you might want to do is a glamour shot. And this glamour shot might be you when you've gone to a wedding or some sort of formal thing where you're a little bit more dressed up. And he now sees you as like a wow girl, like, wow, she looks absolutely stunning when she's dressed up. And lastly, if you want to add another shot in there, it might just be something like, again, a nice sort of casual shot. Try to only have 4 to 5 shots at the most. And if you can take him through that journey where, okay, he sees a nice, beautiful, smiling girl. She's into adventure. She has great social life. Now she looks sexy and gorgeous when she went to that wedding. And now I see her again having maybe a shot that indicates one of your hobbies, whether it's going to a winery, painting. So he's got a glimpse of who you can be. So he feels like he's already starting to build some sort of connection and story with you. Now, when it comes to your bio, what I suggest is keeping it short and sweet and authentic and adding a little bit of humor in there as well and a little bit of curiosity to spark him wanting to have a conversation with you.
That's wonderful advice. So would you say that I should definitely take my bikini picture down from my profile?
I would probably suggest it. Only because you don't want him to start seeing you in a sexual way straight away before he's gotten to know you.
I wonder that actually. I mean, I do use a bikini pic in my dating profile. It's not necessarily the first thing that they see. But I think to myself, like you said, men are visual creatures. And I think that something I've heard over the years is that men will feel like a woman might be pulling the wool over their eyes with some of their photos, and then they see her and they're like, this is not who I was imagining. So in my mind, I think that that was a way for me to say, this is actually what I really look like. But your viewpoint is no way, don't do it.
I think he needs to earn the right to see you with less clothes on, even if it's in a bikini. I think that you don't want him to be getting to want you just purely because of the way that you look. Uh-huh. And I think that if you can, you know, if you're wanting to, I mean, and again, your photos obviously have to be true to you. They can't be from 10 years ago. You might want to put you in a gym picture instead. Mm. We're in obviously a time and age where, you know, because of social media and Instagram and everyone's got sexy gym pics and sexy bikini pics, it's kind of made us desensitized to it. However, what's the impression that you're wanting to set and who do you want to attract? And I can tell you right now, if you want to attract a man that wants to build something more than just a sexual relationship, he will be the sort of man that won't care that if you don't have a bikini pic there, because he actually wants to get to know you for you, and he can see, oh, she's got a gorgeous smile, or wow, she has a really good conversation with me. Oh, wow, she looks like she's fun to be around. Mm-hmm. That's the sort of guy you want to attract, not just any guy that's going to be like, oh, hey, hot girl in a bikini.
I love that. That's so good. That's great. I trolled your Insta. I looked at many of your videos. Something that came up is accelerating a soulmate. Is that something that you believe in?
Absolutely. I believe that, you know, whatever or whoever is meant for us, we cannot miss out on. However, we can delay it or we can accelerate it into our life. Mm-hmm. It's the power of choices here, and our choices obviously bring results. And if you're someone like me who suffered for 10 years doing the wrong thing over and over again, dating the wrong sort of guys, my life became a product of my decisions. And when I finally started working on myself, having that confidence, putting down boundaries, saying no to the wrong sort of men, I dated radically less, literally within 4 months, I then met my fiance. Mm-hmm. So, and I've seen it happen obviously with clients that I work with. And, you know, I'm talking about hundreds of people that I work with. It's just a matter of making choices that obviously align with where it is that you want to be. You can't keep being passive in your thinking and in your dating life. If you're not happy, there's only two reasons why you suck at love. You're either doing the wrong thing or you're dating the wrong person. And if you're going to keep doing that, well, then you're going to keep getting the same result. And of course, you're going to keep delaying your happiness. So I do 100% believe that you can accelerate your soulmate into your life.
Do you think that part of it has to do with being in different parts, you know, different place in life, whether that be like a different season you're in, you know, a season of being single for 6 months, a season of being, you know, then dating many multiple people for 6 months? Do you think that we have different cycles that we should be going through in our lives?
Yeah, absolutely. We always have different cycles. I mean, life is seasonal. You know, we have birth, we have, you know, childhood, we have teenage years, adulthood, old age, and then we die. It is a seasonal thing. The year is seasonal with its, you know, temperatures and weather. I think that, you know, as long as you can identify the season that you're in, then you can't always control the amount of time that you will be in that season. However, at least if you're aware of the purpose of that season, you're able to maximize it so that you can grow from it.
Do you think that season can last years?
Yeah, absolutely.
I ask this for personal reasons, meaning I think I've been in a single season for many years. I have also mm-hmm. heard this from many other women. I don't feel isolated in this when I know that there are many women in my life who are amazing, gorgeous, beautiful, confident, like literally so many women who have not been in serious relationships in years.
This is where it gets a little bit gray. So the thing is with seasons is seasons have a beginning and an end. Now, if you're, again, not able to identify the purpose of that season and use that season to its potential, your end may be pushed back because of you, not because of timing.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? So if you're finding, well, I haven't been able to meet someone for years and years and years, and you still have the desire to meet someone, but your present state and actions are contradicting what needs to happen to make that desire reality, then that comes back to you.
Mm.
You're the common denominator. So there might be all these amazing, amazing women out there who are struggling to meet someone. But I can tell you right now, if they're waiting years and years and years, it's probably because they're doing the wrong thing or they're dating the wrong person. Mm. It's different opposed to say someone lost a husband. Okay. Or say someone went through a really traumatic divorce or a traumatic relationship. They may need a year or 2 years to completely heal. Okay. Because meeting someone in that time wouldn't be the right time in order to be able to give them what it is to have a healthy relationship. Now, after that healing has happened, if they're still then struggling to meet someone, it could be because they're then stuck in victim mode, rather than actually stepping into victory mode, which then enables, you know, someone to be able to come into your life. Again, you have to identify what the season's about and where you are in that season, because that season and anything that happens in life still comes with some level of responsibility. Mm-hmm. And that level of responsibility might be, okay, I'm too comfortable now being single. Mm-hmm. Hence why my expectations are getting higher and higher and higher, because secretly I don't even know how to date anymore, or secretly I'm scared of commitment, or secretly I don't even believe that this sort of man exists, so I'm not even going to bother, and then I'm just going to just say the blanket statement, oh, there's no good men left. Again, it comes down to two things. You're dating the wrong person or you're doing the wrong thing.
Mm-hmm. Do you think part of what goes into doing the wrong thing is attributed to women not harnessing their femininity?
I think doing the wrong thing is No, I don't think that. I think that doing the wrong thing is lack of love education.
Mm.
I think doing the wrong thing is because people aren't aware of what the right thing is. They have had their brain develop its neurological preferences based on their childhood
mm-hmm.
and their parents. So they've been brought up with these identities and convictions that they weren't even aware of. And now they're just dating out of that from being at a certain age and not realizing where their decisions are coming from because it's an unconscious thing. I believe that people are doing the wrong thing because in general, no one sits us down and tells us, okay, this is what you need to look for. These are the fundamentals. This is what you should do on a first date. This is what you should do on a dating app. There is sex education in schools, which is very, very limited. And there's no love education. Mm-hmm. So unless you've had amazing parents model that to you and walk you through the process, how are you meant to know? It's done by trial and error, and it's done out of, okay, this is what I've always done, or this is what my convictions are, without me even realizing it. And that's where you get those results.
I mean, that makes a lot of sense. I think I asked the question also because I wonder about more of the receiving. You know, I think that something I very spiritual person always have been, and I think about the idea of balancing the masculine and feminine inside of myself and the act of actually being able to receive, you know, as a feminine thing, action, receiving love, receiving any sort of compliments or attention or whatever it is. So that's why I asked the question of more so in particular relating to the receiving part.
Definitely receiving. Absolutely. You're right about that. Femininity is about nurturing. It is about receiving. I think femininity is also about giving as well. Yes. And I think that a part of the reason why some women struggle with love is because they feel they have to hunt it down. They feel like they either have to compete for it, or they have to achieve it, or they have to earn it, or they have to go out and find it instead of just understanding that it's there already. It is just a matter of receiving it, and it's a matter of obviously being able to identify it when it comes along and then welcoming it in a way that still honors yourself and sets a healthy pace for that relationship to be able to flourish.
So in these times where, okay, imagine now we have great tips for setting up our dating profile, and we set it up, we go out there, we're ready to do this. What is the real next step to, I want to say, you know, setting yourself up for this like unapologetic, magnificent self-love, which you keep referring to, which I think is so important too. Like they fall in love with themselves, they set up a dating profile, and then getting into this relationship, you know, and I'm really speaking in these like COVID times. I think that that's what people might be left with is like, you know, they think they're doing all of this. Maybe they're not. Maybe they'll get some tips from you, which I believe they will. And so in these COVID times, like what can we really do in order to push ourselves to find somebody or set ourselves up for success?
Well, definitely in COVID times, it has become a lot harder because we're restricted with how we can meet people in person. We don't have as many social groups or things open because we're not allowed to leave our house or they've been cancelled. So it's about understanding that love isn't limited to circumstances, but sometimes we have to adapt our ways in order to adjust to what circumstances have given us. For example, video dates are usually the way that is going now. And because of the industry that I work in and because of my online blog, I have so many dating apps that are constantly contacting me saying, we've got the latest video app. We've got the latest, like every single one has said, we've got the first video dating app. I'm like, you're number 50 already in my queue. So you're not the first one out there, but it's definitely a trend at the moment. And I think it's something that obviously if you're a businesswoman as well, like you're probably using Zoom, Google Hangouts, we are becoming a lot more used to virtual meetings and virtual ways to be able to connect with people. So we have to learn to be able to take that also into our dating life. And I have, I actually have done a video on my YouTube channel about how to do a video date properly, because you don't want to do a video date, especially if you're not someone who's comfortable talking on screen and feel like it's just a disaster. You know, I think that there are, again, some strategic ways that you can set yourself up to feel more comfortable in front of video. I think that we need to understand that this is a season. Mm-hmm. We're not going to be in quarantine forever. Some of us needed to be in quarantine to be alone with ourselves to really figure stuff out, that there is opportunity always around us. Even if we are stuck inside our home, it's just a matter of being open to that opportunity and also learning to how to identify it when it comes along. For example, go to the grocery store because we're still allowed to do that. Maybe there was someone that you had a quick conversation with and you didn't realize that he was actually flirting with you, because we're so in our head that I can't meet someone now that I'm stuck in my tower and I'm going to die alone and Prince Charming will never find me, that we convince our brain to be the truth, and then our brain looks for evidence of that being the truth by blocking other opportunities outside of our tower.
Mm-hmm. How do you encourage a video date? And I want people to watch that video. I think it'll be important. But is there one tip as far as encouraging video dates? You know, you're talking with somebody, because I would say from also my experience in being single and being online right now, that I've wanted to do video dates for a long time, even pre-COVID. At the beginning of this year, I made sort of a rule for myself. I'm like, before I meet anybody offline, I want to do video dates. I feel like it's important to connect. I don't know why, that's what I was feeling. But I've noticed a lot of men in general aren't that excited about video dates. They still want to meet IRL.
And obviously IRL is, you know, much better because it's that interpersonal sort of stuff. Video dates is still a barrier, and the whole reason why we're wanting to meet someone is to be able to get past that barriers and build something together. I think that, you know, you can do it through conversation, and you do it through kind of cheeky, confident sort of conversation. So you might want to say to them, you know, are you ready for our first date? You know, you're asking them a question, you're piquing some sort of curiosity there, and they'll be like, oh, I don't think we can go anywhere because restaurants are still closed. And you might be like, okay, well, how about we have a video date then? You bring the wine on your end and I'll bring the food on my end, and we can actually have dinner even though we're in our own homes. And you make it something fun. You make it seem like something normal. I think that, to me personally, because what's your reason for wanting to just do a video date instead of going into real life? Is it just because you're scared that they might have COVID, or is it because you feel that need to connect with them first through video before a first date?
In pre-COVID times, I made this decision because I thought to myself, you know what, I've been spending time going on dates for a while now, and I want to feel someone's vibe and energy before I put my energy into like getting ready for a real date.
What I would suggest, and there's probably other women out there who may be thinking the same thing, is if basically that's the stage that you've got into, and it's not for safety reasons, it's more for protection reasons, mm-hmm. as in protection of your heart and protection of your energy, then you're probably constantly doing the wrong thing and putting your energy into someone that's not on the same page as you, hence why you're exhausted. You've either got choice fatigue or you're not able to identify who you should actually be engaging with. I think that you're better off having a phone call to see how you are with the phone call, and then having the first real visual in person with someone, because that is when you're actually going to get a true reading of their energy. And I can tell you right now, from a camera perspective, okay, just a little bit of technical advice, because everything's shot through a round lens, it always makes you look 5 kilos heavier than you are, and the camera actually sucks about 30% of your energy. Hence why whenever you see people on camera, and whenever I did TV presenting, I'd be exhausted by the end of the day, because you have to project so much because the camera actually sucks it out. So if you're actually wanting to do an energy check on someone and see how you feel with them, number one, obviously, what is the conversation like? Are you engaging in conversation? How do they make you feel? Then you take it to the next level of maybe a phone call. What a phone call does, it's a micro commitment. Okay, a micro commitment is basically seeing if this guy is the commitment type, and is he ready to invest? If he's ready to invest and have a phone call with you when he can't see you, when he can't touch you, then chances are it's going to be a little bit better, okay? And he's not, you know, lazy, or he's not like too bothered or anything like that. If he's actually, yep, I'm going to pick up the phone like old school and actually call her, or you call him, you know, that is going to give you an indication of the next stage. And then if it's not about COVID times, or, you know, it's merely just about protecting yourself, I would go on a date in real life if you're able to do that, obviously, in the times that we are having at the moment.
Interesting. That actually gives me a lot of clarity. I heard a dating coach on another podcast actually suggest it. And that's what put the bug in my ear. And I was like, yeah, you know what? And actually, I think this dating coach, I can't even remember their name, but they said, I think they did say phone call first and then not necessarily video dating. I think I put that in my own head where I was like, yeah, you know what? That might be a really good idea to video chat with somebody beforehand. So maybe subconsciously I was trying to protect my heart, or as you were saying, also, like, you know, I've gotten to the burnout point of dating where I'm just like, you know what? I can't identify these people anymore who are good dates and who are not. I think all of those are completely potentially valid. And also probably subconscious for me, not anything on the surface that I'm even noticing anymore. But I think those are all really smart points. And I had, like, pre-COVID, I was having, well, I've had a long term of dating, but I would say there has been, I've always been an advocate for people to, like, go on dates. I'm like, dates are so fun. I love them. And I think I did hit a burnout wall. So dates are awesome.
Dating should be fun. If it's not fun, you're doing it wrong.
Right.
Absolutely. And you've got to remember, dating isn't a status. It is a process of character evaluation that you should be moving through to eventually be aligned with what it is that you want. And if that is, you know, if you want to date for the rest of your life, then obviously that is your status. You're a dater, you're a serial dater rather. But if you actually want to date with intention to connect with someone and build a loving relationship, you've got to understand that you should be moving through this process. It shouldn't be something that you're stagnating in. And I can tell you now, if you're going on date after date after date and you're not getting anywhere, you're stagnating.
Wow. A lot of good info here. Something I really like to ask any guest that I have is for them. You know, you are an expert in your field, and obviously you're doing something right. And I think part of what makes people successful is having some sort of self-care in their life. So what does self-care look like for you?
Oh, look, I would love to say that I'm that person that gets up at 5 a.m. in the morning and has my hot lemon water with yoga, but that is not me. Get up and I have 3 coffees. I wake up at 9 a.m. or something, depending if I've got clients. My self-care is definitely my quiet time with God. And just having those moments of calm and peace and grounding myself. And I guess what we would call as meditation, for me, it's prayer. My self-care is hot bath, a glass of wine, reading a book, walking my dog, spending quality time with my fiance and laughing about silly stuff. My self-care is sometimes just switching off, because what I do on a daily basis is sometimes so intense when you're constantly counseling people. Sometimes my self-care is, I follow a couple of Facebook group pages about dogs and I laugh about the dogs and I you know, ooh and ah over the cute dogs, and that's what brings my energy back up. That's like, it's the little things. And for me, it always has been the little things. Of course, I eat properly, I work out, I do the general sort of stuff. That's always been a part of my lifestyle. But the things for me, self-care is what brings me peace and what raises my energy, or gives me energy, even if that energy is resting energy, is the little things. Going to the cafe and getting a coffee, even though we've got a coffee machine at home, it's not about that. It's just going out and treating myself to that coffee to be able to sit there in that moment and just enjoy that coffee.
I think that's awesome. What is one lesson that you have learned in 2020?
Learning to discern opportunity and learning to delegate tasks. I think this year has been really interesting. It's actually been a year that's fully enlarged my capacity without me having a choice, because we've taken on a massive renovation because my fiance's work stopped and because my business took off because of everything that's going on with COVID and dating. And I had to learn my limits of when to say no. I've been offered so many opportunities with this and that, and I just had to go, okay, does this serve me in such a way that I can use it to help me serve the greater? And then realizing I can't do everything in my strength, and that's okay, and learning to delegate unapologetically to other people to do that thing that needs to be done. yeah, I think that has probably been the biggest thing. And I think it's okay to rest. I feel like there's been so much pressure globally on everyone that we're meant to be something more just because we've been given more time to be by ourselves. And there's that guilt that comes with, oh, but I'm resting, but shouldn't I be learning another language now? Shouldn't I be doing this? Or shouldn't I be doing that? And this and that. And we're just, I think learning to just be okay with a season sometimes of uncertainty, just because we have a season of uncertainty doesn't mean that we have a lifetime of uncertainty. And not having to control everything and sometimes just going, okay, I'm surrendering to what goes on now. I'm just going to rest in this moment and not feel guilty about that, because I know ultimately, you know, God does have things under control and I can only do so much, and that is fully okay.
I'm so aligned with you on that as well. I think that 2020 feels like a year of learning to set boundaries. And that kind of plays into what you're saying, boundaries with, you know, not taking on too much. And even with the delegating, it's like so easy to take on too much, and having the opportunity to say no and setting that boundary and giving yourself that rest, so important. So I think that's a great lesson that you shared. Well, this has been such an eye-opening and amazing conversation, Renee. Like, I loved speaking with you. You have given me personally a lot to think about. And I'm sure anybody else who's going to be listening is going to be having their wheels turning, especially if they're single right now. Where can people find you online?
Yeah, so it's pretty simple. It's just my name, Renee Slansky. It's the same for my Instagram, same for my YouTube. Just type in Renee Slansky and it should come up. And that's where I'm most active, on my Instagram and my YouTube account. Or I do have a personal website, which is just reneeslansky.com. And you can go in there, grab all my free stuff, have a look at my courses and the coaching that I have available as well.
Awesome. Thanks for being here.
Perfect. Thanks for having me.
I am so excited that you joined the squad. If you enjoyed this episode of the To Be Honest Though podcast, be sure to subscribe, rate, and review wherever you listen. The show is weekly, but we're online every day. You can join the conversation on Instagram at @ToBeHonestThough_ and discuss episodes with other listeners in our private Facebook group. If you're looking for more insight from the experts, check out our blog at ToBeHonestThough.com. Thanks so much for tuning in, and I cannot wait to hang with you next week.